The light was gone from the surface now. The river was just a dark onrushing. Henry's footsteps grew faint, and for a moment, Naomi remembered also the dark blank of her mother's grave, the casket lowered in. Henry next to her, his grip tight on her arm, his mouth so close she could feel his breath on her ear, and his words slipping in and wrapping around her heart before she could stop them. You could have saved her. The twins, bawling in Tiakuka's arms, were 2 weeks old. He did not hold them once. Naomi squatted and trailed a hand in the shallows. Pastor Tom could dunk Henry in saving grace till he was sleek as a muskrat, but he couldn't shake those mistakes off easy as drops of water. If he'd been born again once, what was to say that he couldn't be born again a second time, back into his old ways? When it was time to go, Naomi went over to the long table that had been heaped with food earlier. Her eyes slid past empty plates, crumbled bits of cornbread, a smear of potatoes in a casserole dish. She spotted an empty pie plate on a red dish towel. A stray blueberry was stuck to the side. Naomi reached out a finger and swept it into her mouth. Then she picked up the tin and cloth and began looking for the dish she'd brought. A moment later, she found the chipped blue plate and lifted the napkin she draped over the top to keep flies off of the tortillas. They had not been touched. Not one. She grabbed the plate and turned toward the trucks and cars still parked at the edge of the clearing. There was a burst of laughter, and two girls tumbled from behind the nearest tree. They had matching freckles and strawberry blonde hair, and they wore dresses cut from the same pattern. The smaller of the two girls looked a few years younger than the twins. The other might have been a year older. Naomi sidestepped the little one, but she darted right back into her path. "Excuse me," Naomi said. Now the older one was blocking her way too. "Hold on," the older girl said. She draped her arms around her sister's shoulders, rested her chin on the little girl's head. "We had the table staked out, see? We was watching to see, wondering who brought them goofy flat pancakes." "Okay," Naomi said. "Don't you know how to make pancakes? And why'd you bring them to a picnic? Ain't picnic food know-how." They were children. There was no reason to be embarrassed. But she was. It was Henry's fault. If he'd bothered to tell her about the picnic, she could have made something else. There wasn't even an hour left when he mentioned a dinner after the revival, not even time enough to get the oven hot for biscuits.
"Told ya," said the older girl to the little one.
"What?" Curiosity unglued Naomi's tongue.
"Only somebody new would be dumb enough to bring pancakes for a supper."
Naomi took in a sharp breath. Her palms itched, and she had a brief impulse to slap the older one. "They're not pancakes. They're tortillas," she said, pushing down her embarrassment. She shoved past them and ran toward the cars. Their voices trailed after her.
"Ain't she stuck up, though," said the bigger girl. "I think she's pretty."
That was the little one.
"You would, snot box."
"Ain't a snot box.
You was picking it just now. Was it neither?"
Naomi slid into the truck beside Gotti and shut the door. Beto stood between the dash and the gear shift, holding a small black Bible.
"I got it for being baptized," he said. His face was bright in the gloom.
"We already got baptized when we were babies," Gotti said.
Henry ignored Gotti and smiled at Naomi.
"The welcome committee found you?"
"Something like that," Naomi said. She shoved the dishes down to the floorboard. Wash. Wash couldn't see the girl from where he was unloading potatoes into the cellar of Turner's General Store, but through the trapdoor opening, he recognized her shoes. They were the same ones, he was sure, but he couldn't fathom what she'd be doing coming through the front door of a white grocery store. Voices drifted down to him. Naomi said something he couldn't hear, but Mr. Turner's words rang out clear.
Where you think you are, girl?
Hold on, Amos. That was Mrs. Turner. Where are you from, honey? Who's your folks?
Before Naomi answered, Mr. Turner started in again.
So there's brown ones and black ones, that don't matter. What matters is that they don't sully up my store.
Whatever came next was drowned out by the electric grinder. When the whirring stopped, Wash heard Mr. Turner again.
What I said? You're greasing up my floor just standing there.
There was a long silence. Then Naomi, barely loud enough for him to hear,
I need to buy things, sir.
Listen now. It was Mrs. Turner. The hours for your kind are posted at the back door.
I'll tell you plain, girl, Mr. Turner barked. Get out.
Wash emptied the last of the potatoes into the bin. He folded the sacks and hurried up the ladder. When he came out the back door of the store, Naomi had already reached the edge of the woods. She was moving fast, almost running, and her long braids swept back and forth across the pale blue of her dress.
Naomi? He called. Wait!
He opened his canvas pack and dropped in the dented cans Mrs. Turner had given him as payment, then called her name again. She didn't slow, but he kept after her. When he caught up, he reached a hand out and put it on her shoulder. She whirled around.
Oh,
he said. He realized his mistake as soon as he saw her up close.
Pardon,
What? Her voice was sharp, even with the tears in it.
Never seen a girl cry?
No. I mean, yes, sure, but you're...
A filthy Mexican?
Yes, I was just told.
She worried the tail of her thick braid.
No, it's not that. I didn't mean to be... I thought... Well, I thought you were...
He gestured at his own skin.
You know, from Egypttown.
I don't even know what that is, she eyed him.
It's where we stay. Colored folk, I mean.
We just moved into the humble oil camp.
She wiped her fingers under her eyes and glared at him. Splotches of red cropped up across her cheeks. It was plain now that she wasn't black. Sure, her skin had the same caramel tone as the more yellow girls at his school, but her eyes were wider apart and deeper set. Her full mouth looked Spanish to him, although he couldn't say why. There was a small gap between her two front teeth.
Dang it, she said. Here come the twins.
The twins?
Wash followed her gaze and saw two pale kids, about 7 or 8, running up the path. Only when he looked from Naomi to the two little ones did he notice the similar shape of the eyes, a certain tilt of the upper lip.
I win! The boy shouted, plowing into her and hugging her around the waist.
The girl slowed to a walk as if she'd never intended to race to begin with.
What kind of candy did you buy?
I didn't buy anything, Naomi said.
Did you finish sweeping the porch?
The boy stepped closer, his eyes riveted on Wash's pack and fishing rod. He looked at the girl, and she nodded.
Is that for fishing?
She asked.
Yep.
Wash untied it so they could get a better look.
You like to fish?
I do. I think I do,
the boy said.
We've never done it, the girl said.
Never? How's that?
The boy said there wasn't much water in San Antonio, but his daddy was going to take them just as soon as he could. The girl reached forward and grabbed the rod.
Can we come with you? What's your name? Where's the river?
He laughed.
I don't know which question to answer first. I'm Wash Fuller.
The twins told him their names. The boy was Beto, which he said like Beto, and the girl was Kari, and full of questions. She started in again.
How do you know her sister?
Just a friend, Wash said. And I reckon you all can come along. I've only got one rod, but we can take turns.
Can we?
Kari asked.
Please, Omi,
Beto added. Naomi bent and looked at the twins hard. If I say yes, you two have to promise to behave, and I want you home by dinner time. She sounded calm, but there was still a thread of hurt in her voice.
You're not coming?
Wash asked. He hoped she'd look at him.
Laundry, she said. She was already walking away.
That porch better be swept, she called back to the twins.
You can meet us by the river if you change your mind, Wash called. The Sabine's just half a mile the other way on the county road.
Naomi lifted a hand and kept walking. He watched her braids sway between her hips.
Sometimes she likes to be by herself, Gutty explained.
Wash worked up a smile, even though what he wanted was to forget the kids and go after Naomi.
Well, he said, let's go catch us some bass.
Naomi. Naomi stood with her hand on the porch door. Her eyes stung from trying not to cry. The truck was gone, and Henry was supposed to be on a 12-hour shift, but she needed to make sure. She waited another minute. When she still didn't hear anything, she went in, letting the screen slam shut behind her. Henry's clothes lay in a heap on the floor where he'd left them that morning.
I used to take my wash to a gal out by the truck yard, he had said. I reckon you can do it now.
He was out the door before she could answer. Washing his clothes. It wasn't just one more thing to add to the work of cooking and cleaning and tending the twins and trying to buy food. It meant handling shirts and pants that he'd worn. It meant touching things that had touched his body. It meant the smell of him. Naomi crumpled into one of the kitchen chairs and laid the side of her face on the cool tabletop. She imagined telling the twins to pack their things. She slid her hand into her pocket and pulled out the money she'd gotten from Henry for groceries. $5. She'd seen $5 bills in Abuelito's store, but she'd never had one in her own possession before. Still, it wasn't enough to get them back to San Antonio. That much she knew. The worst was how Wash had seen her cry. He probably thought she ought to have known. She did know. She wasn't a fool. Back home, she never would have gone into a store in the white part of town. But there was only the one grocer here as far as she knew, and the man had told her plain enough to come back during colored hours. It wasn't just that it kicked at her pride. It might make trouble. She wasn't worried about herself. She already knew she wasn't wanted here. The woman in the school office had given her a long, hard look when she brought in her enrollment card. She'd have sent Naomi to a Mexican school in a heartbeat if they'd had one. But if Henry heard that people in his town saw her not just as Mexican, but as colored, he might try to send her back and keep the twins. She couldn't risk it. When Naomi opened her eyes, they landed on Henry's coffee cup and the stained red work rag he had wiped his mouth on at breakfast. She pulled herself upright and lifted the mug, considering the heft of it and willing herself to throw it. Instead, she carried it to the sink, washed it, and set it in the dish drain. She needed air, but the window above the sink was painted shut. She swept 3 dead flies from the sill into the basin. Their bodies stood out stark against the white enamel until she turned on the faucet and sent them spiraling down the drain. She went to the refrigerator and let the cold spill out around her. The waste didn't matter. Like everything else, the thing ran on free gas. Inside, there were 3 eggs, 1 piece of ham, a wedge of waxed orange cheese, and the quart of milk that came every 3 days. She went over to the pantry. She shifted a can of pears, a shriveled carrot, and two small potatoes to one side. In the middle of the shelf, she grouped the baking powder, a box of salt, the mostly empty sack of flour, and the tin of lard. On the right, she straightened a half-empty bag of dried beans. 3 days' worth of food. Maybe four, if she skipped a meal or two. She thought about distracting herself with the laundry, but she didn't feel like it. Not yet. She went into the hall and saw that the door to Henry's room was ajar. She pushed it partway open with her foot and walked in. The room was bright with light from the bare window. There was a Bible on the nightstand, the same kind that Pastor Tom had given to Bethel last week after his baptism. Black leather with gold-edged pages, each one thin as a bit of onion skin. Henry's was open to Psalm 77. Her eyes fell on a phrase, "Thy footsteps are not known." The bed covers were in a tangle, and there was a greasy spot in the middle of the pillowcase. Sourness rose into her mouth. She thought about swallowing it back down, but instead, she spat. Before she walked out, she looked for the small glob of saliva glistening on his pillow. Probably it would dry and he'd never know it had been there. Or else, it would be something new for him to read. Bethel chased Gadi up from the river, racing through spots of light and shadow as the summer sun poured through the trees. At the edge of the woods, they flung themselves down in the pine needles and waited for Wash to catch up. When he came into view, Gadi leaned her head against Bethel's and whispered, "Our best find yet." On the rest of the walk home, Wash told them jokes, and they laughed until their happiness was the loudest thing in the woods, louder than the tree frogs or the squawking grackles in the treetops. Then they came out on the oil-top road that ran along the humble oil camp and turned onto the packed dirt road that led to their new house. Naomi was on the back porch waiting for them. "Ya llegamos!" Gadi shouted. She ran up the steps with Bethel following after. "Talk English," he called, mostly to show Naomi he remembered the rules. By the time Wash strolled into the yard, they had pulled Naomi down the porch steps. She still held her sewing in one hand. "Too hot for laundry?" Wash asked. Naomi frowned. "Didn't get to it." "Ask us something," Bethel said to Naomi, yanking on her sleeve. Naomi made a face like she was thinking hard. "Did you catch anything?" Wash pulled his hands from behind his back to reveal the two strings of fish they'd caught. 5 fish on each string. Fish fooled by bits of worm stabbed onto hooks. Gadi had delighted in that job, but Bethel had looked away, unsure about the whole business until they pulled in the first fish. It thrashed hard at the end of the line, its scales lit by the sun. River bass, Wash had said. River silver, Bethel had thought. Even now that the fish hung still and straight, they gleamed in the late afternoon light.
"Nice little bass. Not bad for the first try," Wash said.
Naomi nodded and put a hand on Bethel's elbow. "What do you say?" Bethel glanced at Gadi.
"Thank you," they said together.
"Y'all know how to clean fish?" Wash asked.
"Soap and water?"
Bethel ventured. He blushed as soon as he said it.
Wash laughed. "Not hardly. Come on, let me teach you."
He looked over at Naomi.
"Can you spare 2 dishes and a good sharp knife? We'll get these cleaned and ready for frying."
"I already made dinner," Naomi said.
"Fried sand bass go good with everything, I promise."
"All right," she said.
Wash
set the bowl of scraps on the edge of the back porch and handed Naomi the other bowl, now lined with neat fillets. She thanked him and sent the twins inside to wash up and set the table.
"I'll be checking on you soon," she called.
They hollered goodnight to Wash and ran up the steps. The screen door banged behind them as they went in, and their laughter grew faint.
"They had fun," Naomi said. A smile escaped her then. Wash watched it transform her face into a fuller beauty.
"What?" Naomi asked. Her smile vanished.
"You figure on a better way to get your groceries?"
He lowered his voice.
"Mr. Turner can be downright unkind. Old man gargles with the devil's mouthwash, you ask me."
"We're fine," she said,